What's up, junkies? Welcome back in one last time for the 2020 football season. I'm Michael Larson. That's Scott Panza. You can wake up now, those of you who went to bed in the second or at halftime. It's time to just give you the recap of the game, because I think everyone I talked to that just didn't have anything on this game called it quits at halftime, Scott.
I don't blame them. You know, myself, I was cooking up a bunch of food, and by the time I settled down and was in front of the TV, it was 7-3, and then it was 14-3, and the game was over after that. There wasn't much drama. I was super psyched for this game. I thought there was going to be, you know, points, and, you know, drama at the end, and there was none of that. There was 0 points in the fourth quarter. The only drama there was in the first half, you know, some penalties, some yips on punts, some drops by the Chiefs, and, you know, the Bucks got out to the lead, and we talked about it last week on the pod. Hey, Bucks, you want to win this game? Get out to a lead and stomp on their throat, and that's exactly what they did. Second half, Chiefs receive, they settled for three, the Bucks come right down, score a touchdown. That was, you know, heartbreaking. And then the Chiefs showed no fight after that. I was really disappointed to see. They didn't want to battle with the Bucks. The Bucks were just a little bit more fired up.
They were, and I think, like Mr. Brady was saying up on the podium at the end of the game, was you got to peak at the right time, and that's very much you're starting to see it now with these older players who are at this elite level, LeBron, Tom Brady, where early in the year, because, I mean, they had a rough go in November, I believe, is when it was. I mean, I think they dropped like 2-3 games that month. Rough go of it. And then won 7 straight games. Boom, bing, bow. I mean, it's easy.
Yeah. They got the bye at the perfect time. They were the last two teams with the Panthers to get a bye. And they were very productive on that bye week, because as soon as they came back, they righted the ship and they didn't lose the rest of the season.
The romanticized pirate ship.
Yeah, exactly. You know, especially this past season, because they had no training camp. They just came in. There was no preseason games. They had no time to work out the kinks. And, you know, they worked it out eventually, and they were just unstoppable by the end. I mean, they were just dusting teams. Mm-hmm. By the end of the season. And I remember that Saturday game against the Lions. They put, what, 50 points on them?
Yeah,
it was embarrassing. Brady was sitting at the end of the second half. Mm-hmm. Didn't even come out for it.
Yeah.
It was Blaine Gabbert still lighting it up. So, you know, I mean, just such a loaded team. That's why we were really excited, you know, going back to the tweets from last year saying, I hope that he goes to the Bucs if he leaves the Pats, because they're going to be absolutely loaded. Mm-hmm. On the offensive side. They just, you know, they just needed Brady to come in and make it a winning franchise. Now.
Yeah.
But now, you know, a lot of the talk is, does this diminish Belichick? And you're going to get a lot of people saying that. It's just blasphemy in my head, because the Patriots' consistent success for 20 years was not only Brady, it was Belichick as well. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bucs look great because they have a loaded roster, because they were so bad for so many years. But tell me that they are going to be able to do this for 20 years with the leadership in Tampa Bay. I would be betting hard against mm-hmm. that, even with Tom Brady. That's what made them so great with Belichick, is that he was managing the cap every year, so they were never just, you know, in a position where they had no talent up until the last year when they had no talent.
Yeah. You know, it was – so at halftime, Scott, they had win probability for the Bucks when they took that 21-6 lead at 91.5% at halftime. I will say one of the gutsiest performances I've seen in – a quarterback in a while was Patrick Mahomes in that game. I mean, what the metrics on that, like he ran 457 yards or something like that behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I mean, you're down 3-0 linemen in the biggest game against one of the most talented defensive fronts in football and one of the hottest defenses in football. Very young, like you're saying, Scott. I think where you fall into trouble with this is you have a lot of players on rookie contracts that are freakishly good, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
That eventually you're going to have to Sue's going to walk. JPP probably going to have to walk. I mean, you're going to – or
they'll probably keep Devin White because they have to because he's such a stud. Oh, but they're going to lose like Vita Vea. They're going to lose Anton Winfield eventually.
He's going back to Minnesota, baby. Door.
So, no, you're right. It's tough to keep this level of success. But, I mean, talk about scouting and picking the perfect team for him because just – and then, you know – a lot of people are talking about, but he got a bunch of guys to come with him, and they all produced in the Super Bowl. Leonard Fournette,
all the AB, touchdowns, yeah,
and Gronk. You know, those are not guys that were there last year. No. Pure Chris Godwin and Mike Evans got some run, but Chris Godwin didn't get a lot of run in that Super Bowl. So I'm sure he's got to be a little salty.
Yeah, that, I gave up number 12 for this.
He's got a ring though.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think he's okay with it. I will admit I got a little teary-eyed when I saw Antoine Woodfield Sr. jumping up and hugging Junior. I was like, man, like that should have been him 2009 in Miami, but it's fine. I'm still bitter. It's okay. And there were a couple throws there.
I mean, it's crazy because Winfield Sr. was playing against Brady in college and then now his son's a teammate of him, mm-hmm. which is incredible.
Yeah. College.
But you're getting all these guys that were, you know, I grew up watching, like Winfield and like Patrick Surtain. His son's a corner at Bama. He's going to be in the NFL. You got all these guys, kids that are now going to be in the NFL. And like, hey, I remember his father.
Yeah. Makes you feel really young, right?
Yeah, definitely. Really young.
Yeah. I had a quick sidebar. I had a real adult moment today. I went in for my dental cleaning.
Good man.
Get your teeth clean there, everyone. And they're like, have they told you who your hygienist is? And they end up telling me, and it's the dentist's daughter who I actually graduated with.
Oh,
and
really?
She was my hygienist for the day. And it was just one of those like, holy crap. Like we're old people now that are professionals in the world and trying to make our way. But anyway, that's a sidebar for my day. But really after that, it just didn't, it was pretty much 90% chance of victory the whole time. For the Bucs in the second half.
No sweat. Mm-mm. They couldn't get anything going. So that's really disappointing. That's not what you want in a Super Bowl, especially with these two caliber of players. Mahomes will never be able to live this down against Brady. So even if he gets to win seven Super Bowls, Brady's still going to have the edge on him because he beat him head-to-head, beat him twice in the playoffs, the only two times they played in the playoffs. So, but I think we'll be seeing from Mahomes.
Yes.
But, you know, really disappointed with how the Chiefs played. Poor game plan. They should have tried. The Bucs were letting them run. They refused to run on them. And CH mm-hmm. broke off some big runs. And it was too late in the game. But, yeah, it's really disappointing. They just showed a lack of fight where the Bucs just wanted it more. And it felt that the Chiefs. You know, even Kelsey's body language at times just mm-hmm. was like dumbfounded that, you know, how are these guys doing this to us? So,
and he had some bad drops.
They all had some bad drops. And Kelsey, particularly on that, there was a 3rd and 7.
Mm-hmm. Early.
It was right before the yip punt. Mm-hmm. He drops that ball, doesn't extend the drive, and the Bucs come right down and score. And it's the difference between, you know, you're driving down 7-3. And trying to make it a 10-7 game versus going down 14-3, and then you just get dusted.
Mm-hmm. And also, offsides on the field goal.
Offsides on the punt? Oh, yeah, it was the field goal. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you immediately go 17 yards to Gronk on the next play. I thought Gronk was about to score a third touchdown, and I was freaking out because if that happened, I'm like, I wasn't feeling confident about the Brady – MVP bet. I'm like, I don't know. Gronk might get into this thing.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed too because, you know, I had Brady over 3.5 touchdown passes and it was looking amazing. Mm-hmm. Thinking, hey, at least the Chiefs will come fight, make this a game so the Bucs can't just run it. And then sure enough, the Chiefs don't make it a game. And he sits at 3 and I don't get the almost 4-1 payoff on that. So that made me sad. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he started breaking off some big runs, so he went over the rushing receiving prop I had against him. But Byron Pringle stayed under. Brady MVP, no coaches overturn. That was very nice. Harrison Butker over 8.5 points, the only guy scoring points for the Chiefs. So generally a decent prop day. And then obviously we had Brady MVP, Brady Bucks money line, Bucks minus three, Bucks or plus three, Bucks plus 3.5. We are thrilled. We are thrilled. Wish I had more risk on, but you're out of win.
Hindsight 2020. How about the guy who put like 3K on Mahomes not to throw a touchdown pass?
Sicko. I saw another guy who had Chris Godwin under 10 yards receiving. Another one that hit.
That's so unreal. I don't believe in time travel, but there have been things where I'm like, that's Back to the Future 2 stuff right there. Like, that's Sports Almanac. Because you're not going to look, especially with Mahomes. Like, Godwin, maybe you're taking a shot in the dark. Because there's so many weapons on the team. But Mahomes not throwing a touchdown on the most pass-proficient team in the league with an absolute gunslinger. And you feel comfortable enough to put $3,000 on that?
What was the payout on that?
I think you ended up getting like 40.
10 to 1.
Something.
40 to 1.
Or something. Yeah, it was weird. I'll see if I can pull it up. While I'm pulling that up, Scott, do you have any other thoughts from the game on how it played out? I don't want to ask you about the halftime show because America split 50-50. I didn't think it would be like that, but, you know.
On the game, you know, the Bucks defense, amazing. You know, we were talking about the offensive line issues, and they really showed out. And still, so many people were on the Chiefs at the end. You know, I was definitely wrong on line movement because there was no movement getting closer to game time. I thought more people would be on the Chiefs. I thought I'd be able to get a better price. And actually, I got a worse price on money line towards the end of the week. So that was disappointing. But, this game, you know, was all about Brady, the Bucks defense, absolutely loaded. And these guys, it seems like they're going to be bringing everyone back. So they should be in great shape for next season. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure after next season, some of these coaches will probably be going on screen your pastures, depending on, you know, what jobs open up. But, you know, in this NFL, I think you're really struggling to some of these jobs, even if you get them, you're not going to be successful in them because there's poor ownership and poor management. So you're almost doomed from the start, like Todd Bowles was in New York. I mean, he just had no shot because Woody Johnson's a terrible owner there. It's a terribly run organization. So as good of a coach as you may be, you know, it may not matter because everyone above you is just a bunch of idiots. So it really depends on what jobs open up, whether some of these guys will be successful in them.
Mm-hmm. So it was 60-1 odds that the Chiefs wouldn't score a touchdown. And then it was, he put $3,000 at 15-1 that Mahomes wouldn't throw a touchdown. So he won $45,000.
We never.
That's unreal. It's a great time. I agree with you, Scott. This Bucks team, I think you got one, two more. I mean, as long as Tom's there. Now you ask yourself, and here's a question everyone's going to be talking about for forever. Realistically, 5 years ago, we all thought two or three more years for Tom Brady. Now we're here. Is it realistic to think two or three more years of Tom Brady, or why not?
Definitely one more. Maybe two. Maybe he just wants eight. Who knows?
Well, I mean, he, like you said, he did his research. He picked the best team to win now.
And he got it. So maybe he's got another one in him. I don't know.
It'd be unreal.
I think he's got one more, maybe two. But we'll see. We'll see who stays.
Yeah.
They're going to be stacked again next year. Mm-hmm. Fournette's going to be gone, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's, but I think Jones is good enough to.
He can't catch the ball.
He can draft somebody.
Yeah, that's right. That's funny. There's plenty of guys that you can just catch.
Plenty of fish in the sea, as they say. Well, Scott, how do we feel? We'll keep it a little short and sweet, I guess, to tie the bow on the end of the season, because that's, truthfully, what we just talked about right there is about all there is to talk about in this game. Penalties on the Chiefs, interceptions, one team looked like they knew how to play football. The other team looked like it was a throwaway game up in Rochester.
It's disappointing. There's not much more to talk about. There's just, you know, there's just not one that you'll be watching on NFL Network for years to come.
No, this is you got to tip your hat to the Bucs franchise. When you go to the Super Bowl and play a prolific offense, you absolutely annihilate them. You got the Super Bowl in San Diego against the Raiders with Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, and Gannon was having like the year of his life. And 48-21, I think, was the final, but that was like 48 to, it felt like 7 in like the third quarter.
These Super Bowls aren't supposed to go this way. It's not fun.
Right.
I want drama. I want to be up to the end and really excited, not just, you know, you know, re-looking over my nachos and if it's okay if you still eat them.
Yeah, just grazing slowly over the remnants, trying to find a little bit of cheese and just get something. I will say, for the most part, too, commercials been very lackluster for about 5-6 years now, which is very disappointing. But those Matthew McConaughey 3D Dorito things, I had some. Absolutely phenomenal. So go check.
They brought 3D Doritos back?
Yeah.
Oh my God, those are the best.
Yeah, changed my life.
Oh, I didn't know those were back. I didn't notice that commercial.
Oh yeah, it was McConaughey. It was like a flat Stanley.
Oh, I thought the two ones that I liked were the one with Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
And Shaggy.
The Shaggy song.
Uh-huh.
And then the kid with the Rocky theme music trying to lift all these weights.
Yeah.
But those are the two funny ones.
Yeah. I guess that's fair. I mean, it's just not what it used to be.
No.
It's just not what it used to be. The Bud Light one was like a nod to the past. And I feel like a lot of these companies that have hits are just kind of like, oh, yeah. Remember how great our commercials were 10 years ago? We haven't found anyone good at marketing since then.
I will tell you, moving on to 2021 NFL season, I got two futures.
Love it.
I'm gonna get a little taste. I'm getting a little taste today.
We're diving in.
I got the Colts 25-1 DraftKings Sportsbook here in Jersey. I'm in Connecticut, but go over to Jersey. I think the Colts are going to sign a quarterback. Maybe they're going to get Wentz. I don't think so, but they're going to get someone else. Someone's going to want to go to Indianapolis. They're going to want to play quarterback for this Colts team. They have the most cap space in the NFL.
I thought that was the Jags, yeah.
Yeah, Jags are the most. Colts, second most. Load up that offense. They already have a great defense. Shore up those corners a little bit. 25-1 for this team in a wide open – not wide open, but in an open AFC, I think is a great price. And I like the Seahawks plus are 22-1. Russell Wilson's making the rounds right now. He's letting the Seahawks franchise know he's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bit of cap space. They're in the middle of the pack. Go sign some offensive linemen. You're good on offense. Sign some offensive linemen. Show up that defense a little bit. Get Russell Wilson some help. New offensive coordinator there. Hopefully they'll kick this need to run.
Yeah, and let Russ cook.
Let Russ cook. So Seahawks 22-1, Colts 25-1. You know, a little taste.
Just nibbling slowly. I like that. I of course will always, until the day it happens, I am going to always bet Vikings Super Bowl champions until the day I die. And then I'll look back on my life and go, wow.
You'll break even.
All these years of just dumping money into the abyss, and it never happened.
Is there also some talk that Kirk Cousins may be gone?
There's rumors that Niners might make a move for him. I would be shocked by that. I know Shanahan, blah, 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 blah. If I'm San Francisco, I think I look at Carson Wentz.
There's some talk that they're looking at Carson Wentz.
I think that, to me, is a better fit. Carson's a lot more mobile than Kirk. Kirk can move, but I think Shanahan would be able to put him in positions to succeed, much like Doug Peterson did at first. That's my I hope that Carson can turn it around, because I think he's a good player. So I mean, it's crazy. Both the one and two pick from that 2016 draft
they're gone,
getting shipped out. Yeah.
So I do hope that in exchange for Carson Wentz, they're not getting back Jimmy GQ. I'd love to see Jimmy GQ on the Patriots, back where he belongs.
Baby, come back.
We need someone. So hopefully it's him, or else we're looking in the draft. How about the Lions offer for Stafford from the Panthers was so much better than the one they took from the Rams. I'd much rather Teddy Bridgewater and the 8th pick versus Goff and two number ones, probably late round number ones. I don't really get what the Lions are doing. Then goes in trend with the Lions, making awful decisions after awful decisions. Well, why would you not want Bridgewater in the 8th? So you have 7th and 8th picks in the draft. Mm-hmm. Load up. I don't get it. You really think Jared Goff's better than Teddy Bridgewater? No. Craziness.
Yeah, I'm not too mad about it, because I know that they're just bottom feeders and always will be. And I kind of like it.
Definitely. They're the case in point of, it doesn't matter who's coaching that team, it's going to be a bad franchise no matter what.
They're so bad. And Jared Goff, I still, to me, sucks.
Freaking, he's trash. Can't believe you made it to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say he like sucks. I mean, he's a professional quarterback, but also very much sucks to go from LA to Detroit. I'm not saying he's going to live in Detroit, but I mean, just the entire vibe around your franchise is so different.
And you got to go play for Dan Campbell.
Yeah, he's going to bite your kneecaps.
Brutal.
Like,
tough sledding.
It's very, very tough sledding out there in Detroit. And I agree. I think I would rather have Teddy than who's played in that division for a while as well. And, I mean, that'd be an unreal move for the Panthers. If you think about that, team would be really in a position, I think, to make some moves in the AFC or in the NFC South. Now, that's a freaking loaded division, but
yeah, you get Matt McCaffrey healthy. It's got to be tough, though, with Bridgewater now that he knows he was being shopped. You know, how do you go into that locker room feeling wanted?
Yeah, but like they always say, it's a business.
Yeah.
You and me go into work, and they think somebody else could do our job better. Guess who's not getting traded for anything other than the company trading your salary to him or her? You know, it is what it is, I guess. But that's the 2020 season. It happened. It was real. It existed.
I'm pumped. Way to go, NFL. Crushed it. Powered through everything. Blocked out the noise. This country needed it. I needed it. Now back to hibernation. I don't know what to do with myself. Probably be watching too much golf. Mm-hmm.
Watching golf, thinking we can play.
Exactly.
Playing golf, sucking. Yeah.
Rinse, repeat.
Yeah. It's a cycle.
This is the year I'm going to get good at. I'm going to take lessons.
Oh. It's a lot of commitment.
I always tell myself, I take one lesson, then I'll just play.
Yeah, exactly. It's way more fun. You want me to go to the range for an hour and a half every day, or go play 18 holes, drink with the boys, and call it a life? Yeah, I'm with you. Well, Scott, we're capping it off with the one, the only Tom Hanks top three.
Bill Murray.
I keep saying Tom Hanks. I'm jumping ahead. Bill Murray. And we then will begin next year with Tom Hanks. And I don't get why I get them mixed up, because they're so totally different in all of their films. they could not be on two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Way different. Way different.
I'm sorry, folks.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. Bill Murray.
Sorry. You were making that mistake beforehand. I'm not judging you. I'm going to let you kick it off, though.
You're going to let me kick it off? Okay.
Yeah, I kicked off last week.
You did. Indeed, you did. Number three was hard for me. because I really love him in Space Jam. I think he's got a hysterical role, but like it has nothing. He's not in it enough to really, I feel like, call that much of a role. I just love that he won, wears a St. Paul Saints hat, which he's a partial owner of now, the and they're now the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, I believe AAA. Yeah. And he's wearing the St. Paul Saints hat as he walks out there, and he's like, da-da-da-da. It's just perfect. But I am going to go with, and I know a lot of people probably aren't going to like me for this, but it kind of falls in the same line. Caddyshack. I feel like I have to put Caddyshack on there somewhere. And for me, I'll put that number three just because he's not the total main character, but he is very memorable in that movie, to say the least.
You know, I'm with you. I thought he should get his due for Caddyshack because he's hilarious in it. But, you know, I'm going to go off the reservation here. Another ancillary role, but he makes the film what it is. Kingpin.
Ooh.
Big Arn McCracken. Every time he's in the movie, I'm laughing my balls off. Absolutely fantastic. Kingpin, my number three.
Ooh. That's a good one. One more time, Sweetness.
This time with some alcohol in it.
Yeah, exactly. He's a beautiful man. Number two for me, I'm going to go with Groundhog Day, which was just the other day, so I feel like it's fitting to put that on there at number two. A lot of humor in that one for me. It's pretty much become one of my running jokes that whenever people ask me how my day was, I say I can't wait to go home and take a bath with my toaster. And that scene to me is just hysterical, and he just keeps waking up, and it's all these different ways of him basically killing himself and waking up the next day. And I love that Jeep Wrangler came out with a commercial Groundhog Day, yeah. And that was great. So good movie, kind of an early rom-com vibe outline, you know?
That's right. I'm going Ghostbusters number two, Dr. Pete Benkman. He's with his cohort that's in all his movies, R.I.P. His name's escaping me, Harold Ramis. Mm-hmm. And then Dan Aykroyd. Fantastic. If you've never seen, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you gotta watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Harold Ramis was actually director of Groundhog Day, 1993.
Harold Ramis has some jams, and his real jam is coming up next for me. Ooh. But I'll let you go first.
So this is a family favorite. This was one that Jared and I used to quote together all the time, and we still quote as a family. And that is, "What About Bob?" My sister got me a "Don't Hassle Me, I'm Local" t-shirt. I wear that one around all the time. I had a buddy who went up to Lake Winnipesaukee, actually, and played golf. And I was like, dude, please get me like a Pizaki t-shirt. So he did. It's just a lot of family memories around this one, and he is absolutely phenomenal. Just the humor in it is fantastic. And I also got to give mad props to Richard Dreyfuss playing Dr. Leo Marvin. Absolutely phenomenal job. Those two back and forth, I could put them in a room and watch them all day. Because
I'll add that to the list. I haven't seen What About Bob.
Oh man!
No, I'll get it. I'll get it. My number one is Stripes.
Nice.
Bill Murray, Hale Ramis. They're just a couple losers. Join the army, and they go on some, excursions with John Candy and some others, and it's absolutely hilarious. So Stripes, my number one.
That's a good way of putting it. Excursions.
Yeah.
They go on some excursions together. Yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff. Bill frickin' Murray.
he's fantastic. It's a bummer he's not going to be playing in the program at Pebble Beach this weekend because they're not having celebrities. Mm-hmm. Sadsies. Pebble Beach. Got to get that on the list.
What's the course he says he plays in Zombieland?
Oh God!
He's like,
great cameo.
Yeah. And he's like walking out. I'm going to look it up, of course.
Yeah.
Good radio right here.
Very good radio.
Yeah, he like walks out. He's like, yeah, you won't believe it. Just walked right out. I can't find it. Oh, man. Anyway.
We'll tweet it.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Does the makeup. That's another honorable man. Riviera. Yeah, Riviera. Just walked on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got to play that. There. I always played it in Tiger Woods Golf.
Yeah, phenomenal. Well, awesome. Well, Junkies, thank you so much for tuning in for the 2020 season. We look forward to talking to you August-ish.
August-ish. We'll tweet out some stuff that looks juicy leading up to the draft. Talk about the draft. Can't wait to talk about, you know, bad picks, good picks.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see who lands on the Pats, who lands on the Vikings. All these QB movements, there's plenty of action.
Yeah,
enough to move markets, too.
Yeah, a lot of chess pieces on the table able to be moved. I feel like the NFL is catching up with the other sports when it comes to that with off-season moves.
The NFL is turning into the NBA a little bit, where there are a lot of big franchise-transforming moves that mm-hmm. happen in the off-season, especially this off-season.
Cap
will be changing too, so there's some interesting. This is going to be an interesting offseason.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams might find themselves in cap hell, and they're going to have to really make some tough choices. But
so those teams with a lot of cap space, like the Pats, like the Colts, they're going to be in a good position to pounce.
What about the Jags?
No, it doesn't matter.
Trevor Lawrence.
They get Trevor Lawrence. We'll see how that works out. You saw him play at the end of last year.
Are you putting him in at Rookie of the Year?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. He's going to have to run really bad not to win it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
You have to run Joe Burrow bad.
Well, like tear his ACL?
Yeah, exactly.
Just be done. Oh, man. Well, again, thank you all so much. We will probably pop on here once.
Thank you, Mr. Producer. Crushed it this year. Thank you.
No. Thank you, Scott. You, sir, like Jared used to always say, the talent's all that matters. I am just here to facilitate. I am.
We're not doing this without you, Micah.
So. Well, it's been a blast. We always enjoy doing it, and the interaction with everyone is always exciting. It's been, obviously, quite a year for everyone, and as many of you know, it's been quite a year in the Larson household. So we'll keep you posted. Coming up on baby number 3 here soon. So
yeah, that's right.
But exciting times and sad times simultaneously. But, you know, Scott, I'm happy we kept the tradition going. I think Jared would be very happy. He loved this podcast very much. And he loved all of you listeners too. Nothing made my brother happier than interacting with all of you and getting an opportunity to share his genius, as he would deem it. With all of you. So thank you for that, and thank you for sticking with us in this odd year. So once again, we will see you on the next time, whenever that is, between now and August. We'll probably hop on here. But thanks so much, Junkies. We are out of here.
I swallow a lot of aggression, along with a lot of pizzas. Suck the taint.